Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Don Tony here. It is March 3rd, 2022. Right off the bat, for my fellow friends and family members here that had a problem tonight connecting to the show, I don't know what the technical issues are. I got a couple of DMs on Twitter and two emails that for some reason people cannot connect to my channel. So I don't know what the issue is. I had that happen the other day that every video that I wanted to click on YouTube, I was just getting a playback error message. So, hey, sometimes, you know, it's funny. YouTube has technical problems. Patreon has technical problems. They have problems with their app. And I get the messages as if I'm technical support. I wish I knew the answers, my friends. So if anybody that was unable to get this live tonight, my sincere apologies. Rams fans, shout out to you. He is having carnitas for dinner. Let me tell you something, everybody. I am physically exhausted today. I was sleeping literally 15 minutes ago. Last night, after we did Wednesday Night Dynamite, I was exchanging DMs with a friend of mine that is in wrestling who tuned into the show live. And, you know, he was giving me a little bit more of what the chatter was behind the scenes in AEW of what the future of Ring of Honor is going to be. Very, very interesting. I mean, I promised to keep, you know, in confidentiality what was said to me, but I can say this. Tony Khan is definitely going to keep Ring of Honor alive. They will continue to do shows. They're going to try to keep it as a separate entity. Already there are people, you know, just talking about wanting to, you know, do something here. And that's a cool thing, man. Anything that invigorates pro wrestling, anything that gives it a little bit of a spark, is a good thing. It really is. I mean, honestly, you know, there is a demographic for people who criticized Tony Khan yesterday and criticized Vince McMahon today. You know, Vince McMahon uses the term dead weight, and people that don't like Vince McMahon got triggered beyond belief today. I watched the entire Vince McMahon 90-minute appearance on Pat McAfee. It was, oh boy. I want to thank, who was it? Steve Woodward, who sent me a little transcript of the episode today, because there was no way I was going to be able to keep notes as much. I just wanted to watch it, absorb it, feel it, enjoy it. I know a lot of people out there set up that there was going to be a physical altercation. Did not happen. Vince McMahon challenging Pat McAfee to a match at WrestleMania. Did not happen. Could end up, but you could see the skits now. Austin Theory is going to plead to Vince, please, let me show you that I can do it. And I think it will be Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory, which was a title of one of the episodes we did here last week. Rams fan didn't get a notification tonight. Yeah, something's up tonight with YouTube. Something's up. SRH John, thank you. But you didn't have to do that, my friend. Thank you for your generous, you know, the super chat. I got to remember, I know you all want to send it, and I will take it, but, you know, Thursday nights is, you know, for the channel members. Of course, the audio version is available to everybody, but, you know, you being a channel member, is so special, and you know, you don't have to do that. I mean, I do appreciate it. Don't get me wrong, but very, very kind of you for that super chat. He asks, hope I'm having a great day and the chat, and he loves everything that I do. I guess whether I said you don't have to send it, I guess you were going to do that anyways. Thank you very much, my friend. Yes, I will enjoy some caffeinated beverages tomorrow and maybe an egg wrap. So, Theory versus McAfee with Vince as a special guest referee. I don't know about that. I don't think Vince as the referee would be ideal. Vince McMahon, even though he can bench press, you know, he was talking about 1,000 pounds tonight, but, you know, just physically mobile wise, you know, he can't move around like he used to. He can't. He's almost 80 years old. You know, people, especially with the video game coming out, a lot of people have the video game mentality that, oh, they think of the Vince McMahon from 10, 20 years ago that might still be able to do it. Nobody wants to see people get old, but Vince is almost 80 years old, and it made no sense from the beginning. But, you know, we will talk in great detail about his appearance today, because for me, it was special. It was very special. And the best way I could describe it is that, you know how someone writes a memoir, you know, before they go? Just a memoir, you know. 20 years ago, a lot of people would do interviews with Howard Stern. He usually would have a lot of humor in it, comical. Howard Stern didn't go deep into that person's career or tenure, doesn't study it. You know, unless he was a fan of the person's work for the long term. Pat McAfee today showed everybody that he is a lifelong wrestling fan. I mean, you know, a couple of things he said, which I know a lot of us could relate to. You know, we used to get the illegal pay-per-views and didn't pay for it, the black box, you know. I remember, God, this was the mid-90s. I remember buying some type of a little jack or something. I don't know what it's called. But I remember paying an electrician $50 to go to the pole outside the house and literally connect this between the wire that gave you your cable, and it basically, I don't know, converted it or whatever, and it turned it into where you had access to every cable channel. I don't know if any of you remember what that was. If you remember it afterwards, you know, write it in the comment section. I don't know what it was called, but we paid this guy Tony. His name was Tony. Gave him like $50 or so. He didn't want nothing. I gave it to him as a thank you. He went on the pole and literally unscrewed, I guess, the connection for the cable. And then he put this between like what was on the cable pole. And I had every channel. Got the pay-per-views, everything. Any of you out there get the old cable boxes where you got every channel, but the numbers were scrambled? So for like 10, 15 years, you used to watch a TBS on channel 8, and then you get this illegal cable box, and it's like channel 73. That was nerve-wracking, because my father had one of those illegal boxes. And I know we're going a little off topic, but there's really not much to talk about today. I got an announcement that I think some of you out there absolutely going to love. I love being able to have fun and enjoy wrestling, enjoy hanging out with all of you, enjoy being happy. You know, it's just that I feel it. That demographic of being bitter bitches is starting to become unpopular. I'm telling you, you know, the AEW Ring of Honor announcement and Vince's appearance today was nothing but good shit, man. And you could see that group of people who have to just put down and mock everything You know, people, I think, are getting tired of that. They're getting very tired of it. But, you know, just to get back to my dad, and I will reveal it. When my dad had the illegal cable box, he had it in his bedroom, him and my mom. You got access to every cable channel. Now, for them, I think they watched like HBO had like four channels. Showtime had a couple of channels. Cinemax, a couple of channels. They would watch movies. When my parents would go out, now we're talking early to mid-90s, all right? So we're talking about, you know, about 30 years ago. And my parents would go out, or if my mom would go out, my father was working, my mom and dad would always lock their bedroom door. They would have money laying around. They had a safe upstairs. They had jewelry. Now, they trusted us. I mean, obviously, I've told you my stories when I was in my early 20s. You know, I, you know, stole a couple of things from my family, hocked it just to get some quick cash and go partying with my friends. But, you know, that was, those days were long gone. And believe me, for years after that, you know, my parents would test me. You know, they would leave like, you know, a couple of dollars somewhere just to see if I would take it. You know, and I never ever, you know, when I realized how much it hurt my parents when I was doing mischievous stuff, you know, I'm talking 20 years old. You know, I'm not talking like older. But they always locked their door. And I think they did that, God forbid, if anybody ever broke in, they had a cleaning person that would show up and they would lock the door. The funny thing about it is that if you take a butter knife, there would be a space between, you know, like the nipple that sticks out from the door and, you know, the door itself. And you literally would take like a butter knife and you just go boop and the door would pop right open. And the funny thing is that probably after about 6 months of me popping the door open, you'd like a little piece of the wood on the door starts to wear off a little bit. And one time my mom's looking at the floor, I was like, why is there sawdust on the floor? Because every time you pop the door, you get a little tiny bit of wood that would fall on the floor. And what would I do? I'd go upstairs and I'd watch Spice, the adult network. You know, we didn't have internet like it was now. You didn't have PornXS. You didn't have Pornhub and all those places. You know, for OnlyFans is the now popular thing. Steve, I'll talk about Cain Velasquez in a moment, but, you know, I remember those days of watching everything illegal and not paying for it because it was crazy, man. The amount of money that they would want is just nuts, you know, and people didn't have it like that back in the day. That's why even now, like I have YouTube TV and, you know, it's a far cry of spending almost $300 a month for cable. And the worst part about it is you would only watch a couple of channels, but yet you had to buy, and they do it on purpose. They'll have like a couple of different channel packages, and like three quarters of the channels you watch will be on this one package. And you're like, okay, that price is not bad. And then you realize like three of your other channels is in this package. So you have to buy this one. And then you realize two of your other channels and ESPN is on this one. And then the next thing you know, you have to, just give me the fucking big package. And that's what happens even to this day. Yes, Austin, Jitgel Regs. That's where I was going with it. I was too a little embarrassed to say it right now. But yeah, I would go upstairs and do my duty, you know. And yeah, thank God they didn't count the number of tissues in the box when they would be upstairs. That was the worst part about it. And I don't care. We're having fun. I don't mind revealing this stuff. That would be the worst part about it. Going upstairs and there'd be no toilet paper up there and there's only like two pieces of tissue left. You're up there. You're watching nudity. You're watching edited sex because they didn't show penetration all that much. In fact, I don't think they showed it at all at that time. And you're getting into it. Then you go into the bathroom to get, you know, various items, ingredients that you need to fulfill your enjoyment. And you go in there and there's no toilet paper. Fuck. But there's tissue. There's a tissue box. And then you look, there's only one tissue in there. Now, if you take the tissue and there's no tissues left, you know, what happens when your mother gets home? Hey, There was a tissue in this tissue box. What were you doing up here? And then they think the worst. Were you trying to get into the safe? What were you doing? And you didn't want to go all the way downstairs into the storage room to go buy, you know, pick up a roll of toilet paper, take a couple of sheets, leave the roll downstairs because you don't want to leave evidence of a full roll of toilet paper up there. And if you got super lazy, you go into your dad's drawer, you pull out a sock that's buried underneath that he probably hasn't seen since 1977. And then you very nonchalantly hide that used sock in the garbage bag way deep inside so you would not pick up. How did we get on this freaking topic? How do we go from Vince McMahon to pulling old socks out of my dad's drawer to get off to internet cable edited sex in the 90s? A lot of people, when they get old, they write their memoirs. They write the memoir. A lot of people have done that. They do it when they're very much up there in age, because if it's time to go soon, they have a memoir. People sometimes do it in different versions. To me, what we got tonight, this afternoon, I should say, with Vince McMahon on Pat McAfee, was a memoir. It was a memoir. It was what any of us that have been decades-long fans of Vince McMahon, we always wanted to see the personal side, the relaxed person. Yeah, he was on Steve Austin in 2014, but that was for the WWE Network. No cursing, no anything goes. And even Vince, and you could tell when Vince does the fake laugh, like he'll be talking to someone and someone will say something and he'll be like, ha, 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 ha. He's got this, you could tell when he's fake laughing. He's got this look about his, ha, 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 you know? But today it was relaxed. It was like home movies of Vince McMahon, that little inner bit of himself. And one of my satisfactions today was when he was talking about the company going corporate and Pat McAfee asking him, you know, is it hard? Is it emotional? Is it difficult sometimes to release people? And he said before they were a publicly traded company that, you know, you think about someone and their livelihood and their family and death in the family, and right away you think about somebody like Vicky Guerrero and others, and then you think about someone who has a very ill family member, and I don't want to start mentioning names down the list, but when you, before they were a publicly traded company, or very early on, you know, decisions can be made from the heart. That's what Tony Khan does right now. Tony Khan, when he says that he's not going to fire anybody, he'll just let their contracts expire. He's not a publicly traded company. He answers to himself. That's his heart talking. Vince McMahon said once they became a publicly traded company, then now you have to answer to stockholders. And I know I bored the crap out of you all for years talking about Vince McMahon and the decisions, and it's about the stockholders. It's about the bottom line. And you've heard me use this phrase all the time. We may not like it, but we need to understand it. And when Vince is talking about wrestlers being released, and he says, whoa, when you got some dead weight in the company, people lost their shit today, offended. You know, those are people live. You're calling them dead weight. Yeah, that's terms that are used in the corporate world. There's some very, very fragile people in this world. Fragile. Christian makes his return to AEW. WWE didn't give him the opportunity. And he has a match, full-blown match, and he wasn't crippled as a result. And people online,
I'm just so happy. Christian! Christian,
people on audio only right now must be like, what the hell is this guy doing? I almost started crying, rubbing my eyes like that. There are some very fragile people right now. I told you about the story of that former Supreme Court judge. If anyone that in the past did not tune into some of the more personal Thursday nights when I would share a lot of personal stories, this is God honest truth. We had a friend that was a former Supreme Court judge. His last name is Agati. I could tell you, he's a public figure. Augusto Agati. A-G-A-T-E. Not Gotti like John Gotti, but Augusto Agati. He used to be a lawyer. He was my lawyer. He was my family's lawyer. Back up until the 90s, then he became a judge. And he recently retired about 5 years ago. And if you think I'm lying, Google his name. Just type up Augusto Agati, Queens, New York. You will see him. And he retired probably within the last 5 years, 6 years. Hardcore Democrat. My father was very close with him. He lives not too far from my house. My father saw him on the street about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, right before COVID. And my father thought he would be cute by to crack a little joke about Trump because this guy despised Donald Trump. And I don't know what my father said. My father said something to him about Trump. The guy started crying, almost had a nervous breakdown on Cross Bay Boulevard. My father felt so terrible afterwards, and he told us what happened. All he did was joke about Trump, and this guy started crying, started like almost having a nervous breakdown. And you see that online with some people too. You mention a certain person's name, and they just, people lose it. I mean, it's just crazy. James, good evening. Austin, everybody else, Harris, Zombies, everybody. For again, for those that are unable to connect live today, you know, I don't know if it's a regional issue, but I'm sorry for those that were unable to connect. So Eddie Valentino is bar hopping. Oh, Eddie, you should have tuned in 10 minutes sooner. We were talking about, you know, the 90s enjoying some adult entertainment through cable TV. But, you know, again, just sticking with Vince. You know, Vince McMahon, and I've said this term before, is the third longest man in my life. Sure, I grew up as a kid with personal friends, but when I realized that Vince McMahon in some way, shape, or form has been in my life since 1979, you know, that is, you know, a long time. It is a long time. And, you know, sure, on a personal level, watching Vince today explain that you have to answer to stockholders and you had to almost numb yourself from the personal decisions. And it made decisions easier because you had to please stockholders. So personally on these shows, it was very gratifying because this is what we've talked about ever since they started these mass releases. And you have all these other people out there trying to push a narrative because they refuse to accept or understand the corporate side of pro wrestling. They just look at it in simplistic terms. And that's why almost all of them, you know, when you look at their own personal standing in life, they're very simplistic as well. Well, I have 10,000 followers. What the fuck does that mean? You make $6 an hour. You don't even work. I got 300 likes. What the fuck does that mean? So, Vince McMahon today, you know, I'm going into it, and in the back of my mind, I'm saying to myself, please do not wrestle at WrestleMania. Then I'm saying to myself, please do not stage an altercation, you know, because that's what everybody has set up for the last week or so. That Vince McMahon and Pat McAfee were going to have some crazy altercation. They're going to have a match at WrestleMania. They're going to wrestle each other. And I'm like, okay, where is the moment where they start talking in character? I wanted to see Vince McMahon, the person. And when the interview first started, and Pat McAfee is just talking like, fucking Vince McMahon. That's probably how we would all react if we ever had the opportunity to see him. Sure, we would be very, very, you know, professional about it. But if you were able to let your guard down and he was able to let your guard down, be like, holy fucking shit, fucking Vince McMahon. And Pat McAfee, of course Pat McAfee was going to kiss ass a little bit. When you're a lifelong wrestling fan and you get a dream job to do commentary on SmackDown and you work for the motherfucker, of course you're going to play a little bit of softball. You look at these media calls that Tony Khan does. We just talked about it yesterday. I didn't do a recap of the media call because 75% of the questions were fluff. They were softball. Some of the questions were moronically stupid, you know, but it's more because people want to get on the good side of Tony Khan or they want their name to be broadcasted to everybody. Everybody has to be acknowledged. That's why people gravitate, certain people gravitate towards Tony Khan than they do with Vince McMahon because they know that they could write a million times on social media, WWE is the greatest promotion in the world. Vince McMahon is the greatest man in the world. I absolutely adore this man. Vince McMahon is God. Vince McMahon is this. He's incredible. He's this. Everybody should have the work ethic of Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is truly a good person. You know, unpopular opinion. Vince McMahon is this. Vince McMahon. And Vince McMahon will never like your tweets. Vince McMahon will never send you a DM. Hey, thank you for the not kind words. Vince McMahon is not going to give you a figurative hand job. No one in the WWE corporate world is going to notice you. They're not going to follow you. They're not going to retweet you. They're not going to say, hey, would you like to do an interview? You know, but with AEW, you know, you have a better chance that if you say it long enough, the main brass in AEW may not notice or publicly acknowledge you, but you get fellow people that are attempting to do the same thing. Like. Everybody needs to be acknowledged. Their name has to be out there. When I watched this interview today for 90 minutes, I wrote two or three comments in the chat section. As the interview went on, I said, you know, something weird is happening. The longer Vince goes with Pat McAfee, the more human he sounds, the stronger he sounds. You realize he has it all there, that he may be weak in the voice. He may be a little fragile because of his age. But as the interview went on, Vince got stronger, got funnier, got more likable, got just sharp as a tack. And that's what I wrote. I said, the longer this interview is going, the better Vince looks, sounds, and how he's coming across. And then at the very end, when Vince McMahon was talking about death, and Vince said this, if I get hit by a bus today, I just want 1 second before I kick to say thank you for everything. And he got choked up. And believe me when I tell you, a lot of people watching live got a chill up their spine. It was so powerful in the moment. You know, thank you for living in this country. You know, for me living in this country, getting this opportunity, doing this, thank you to the fans, this is Sinet. Vince McMahon said early on in the interview that it used to bother him when people would say terrible things about him. Vince McMahon is a horrible person. No, I'm not. And Vince realized that if he focuses on addressing the negatives, then he's taking his eye off of the positives, which makes a lot of sense. Now, yes, if you have negatives, you have to have that wherewithal to battle the negatives and keep the positives as well. But, you know, he stopped caring. He stopped letting it get to him. He realized that there are people out there. Here's where the IWC comes in. There are people out there that no matter what you do, no matter how much you prove something otherwise, people will never change their view about a person. And there were so many things about this interview that Vince was not Mr. McMahon. A lot of this interview was Vince McMahon, the person. And it was like a memoir for me. You know, ever since the 90s, you know, it's funny. I always made fun of Vinny G, who was a hotline host here, a real whack job. He used to dress up like Michael Jackson. And, you know, I actually was friendly with him, but he was weird. He was weird. And one of the highlights, and I have some pictures still, and I will be more than happy to share them with you next week. But back in the 90s, he would email me, "Hey, I just met Vince McMahon." And I'd be like, "Sure you did." And then he sends me a fucking picture, him dressed up as Michael Jackson, posing with Vince McMahon. He would stand at the Garden and wait until everybody would show up and they would stop to pose with him. He posed with John Cena. He posed with The Rock. He posed with Linda McMahon. He posed with Steve Austin. He posed with Vince McMahon. And he said every so often when they show up at the Garden, "Hey, I just hung out with John Cena." I would say, "Oh, cool, cool." Meanwhile, I'm saying to myself, "Yeah, okay." And then he emailed me the picture. And I'm looking at Vince, especially. And here's a guy dressed up like Michael Jackson, complete with white makeup on the face and lipstick. It actually, I think he looked more like what Vince looks like now. But Vince McMahon was being himself. This is something that I've wanted for decades. I wanted to feel like we're not talking to a character 24/7, 365. And sure, you will take parts of the interview and you'll see little bits being retweeted. You know, anybody could become a wrestler, but not everybody could be a WWE superstar. And the people out there that use the term wrestling that get triggered by the term entertainment. Yeah, no. Danhausen stood with Evil Uno yesterday and he gets eliminated. No, that's not fucking entertainment, right? No. A fucking dinosaur, you know, doing a chop and it turns into a reverse Frankenstein. No, that's not entertainment. People just don't get it. It's just not their entertainment, their type of entertainment. There's different forms of it. This felt like a memoir of Vince McMahon. I don't know if Vince McMahon thinks that he doesn't have much time left on his earth. During the interview, he actually did say that he's done a lot of stuff in his life that he's almost shocked that he's still around. Now, sure, Pat McAfee, I give Pat McAfee this credit. Pat McAfee had the wherewithal to back off certain things. When Pat McAfee made the joke about him, Vince, getting blown up in the limo and then showing back up right afterwards, you know, that was the Benoit tragedy. And Vince just no-sold the comment, just changed the subject, and Pat McAfee just moved on as well. Pat McAfee brought up AEW, and Vince McMahon, you know, that he likes competition. He likes this. But, of course, you get people that just don't like Vince. "Oh, you talk about Cody. Or talk about AEW buying Ring of Honor." You think Vince gives a fuck about that stuff? Vince had the opportunity to buy Ring of Honor. In fact, there was rumors that we talked about it one night. There was rumors that Shane McMahon might be interested in buying Ring of Honor. Now, when Tony Khan made that remark last night, "No, Shane didn't buy Ring of Honor. It was me." There was two ways you could have interpreted it. It could have been Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor instead of WWE and trying to play off that night, March 26, 2001. I always remember that day because the day before my birthday, that Tony Khan was playing off of that. He could have also been playing off the fact that Shane McMahon, there was a lot of rumors that he was interested in buying Ring of Honor and keeping it going. You know? So we'll get into some more recap. Before I do that, let's check out a couple of questions because this is for our channel members. Remember, we definitely want to. Chris S. is asking me if I had a chance to answer Vince McMahon any question, what would it be? Well, last Thursday when I had Solomonst on, that actually was a question on the show. And it was funny because Solomonst and I brought up the night that Nancy Argentina passed, Jimmy Snuka's ex-girlfriend. And when Vince showed up in the precinct with a suitcase, there's a lot of rumors there was a suitcase with money in it. And both Solomonst and myself, that was our pick. Now, in reality, you know, the way the question was asked to us last week is a little bit different than the way you word it. The way the question was worded last week was if we had the opportunity to answer, ask Vince one question and he would be forced to answer it, what would it be? That was the question. But if I had the opportunity to really meet Vince McMahon right now, honestly, and I honestly even think Solomonst and 99% of you out there would say the same thing. If we went to the Garden Saturday, because they're going to be in the Garden Saturday. If we went to the Garden and we were able to get a press pass, hang out backstage a little bit, and Vince McMahon was walking by and somebody said, hey, I want to introduce you to someone. And Vince McMahon, you know, shook your hand and stopped to chat with you for a little while. There is no way, no way that I would bring up Jimmy Snuka. There's no way I would bring up Chris Benoit. There's no way I would bring up, is it true your daughter slept with Macho Man? I would just say thank you for the decades of entertaining me. He was responsible for a large portion of my childhood with memories, my adulthood, even what I do now. If it wasn't for him and it wasn't for my grandmother, I probably would not be doing his podcasting right now. I don't think anybody out there would turn around and do that. If you had the opportunity, legit, to shake his hand right now and talk to him for a couple of minutes. They do an auction, a little WWE charity auction. You win it. Get to spend 5 minutes with Vince McMahon. You really, deep down inside, you really would go up to him and say, hey, Vince, you got to tell me the truth. What was in the briefcase? Yeah, we could giggle about it online. None of us would have the fucking balls to say it to that man. You know how people would say it? Is if he was walking by and you had protesters outside that don't like WWE and they would yell out, hey, Vince, what was in the briefcase? Vince, how can you do business with Saudi Arabia? And by the way, speaking of Saudi Arabia, I actually have some news for all of you, and I guess I could bring it up now before we go to the next question. WWE announced that they ended their relationship with Gazprom Media, Gazprom-Media, who owns, and I'll interpret it into English, Match Fighter in Russia. Now, for those that don't know, Gazprom Media, you know, is, I think it's like a gas company. I mean, it's billions, but they own that broadcast TV. They own that network. And WWE pulled the relationship because of what's going on with Ukraine. And I wrote something on social media. And of course, because you make so much common sense and it's not trigger stuff, you know, hey, you want instant? you know, you criticize this, or you rip Kane, or you rip Nia Jax, and oh, you know, instant likes. Oh, I feel so good. Oh, I got that hit today. I feel important. I don't do that. I said, you know, to me, them pulling that hurts everyday Russians who don't want war that enjoy wrestling. Something tells me Putin's army are like, eh, put on the SmackDown. Happy Corbin's on the TV. Now I sound Irish. Hey, put the SmackDown on TV. I got to see the madcap. I don't think so. I don't think so. Yet WWE does business with Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia government does like World Wrestling Entertainment. Double standard, maybe. Maybe double standard, I don't know. I will tell you, earlier today, I got a message from one person who lives in Russia, and then I got a DM from someone else who asked that I did not say his name publicly, but one person by the name of Rinky, that, you know, there's a lot of Patreon pages where they can watch WWE still. But what's interesting, and this is not being reported anywhere, and I did the research, and he is correct with it. One of the owners of this cable outlet owned by this gas conglomerate, his name is Viktor Zubkov. I think the middle name is Alexevich. Viktor Alexevich Zubkov. He is a politician and a businessman in Russia, and he is one of the primary owners. He was the prime minister of Russia from 07 to 08. He was Putin's first deputy prime minister. So this guy, very powerful. I think a couple of years ago, he was accused of being involved with the Russian mafia in Spain. Wild shit. But apparently this guy, one of his duties was to censor and remove from Russian television anything that they felt inappropriate for Russia. So some of WWE programming would never air. Some of WWE programming would air at different days and nights, that sometimes it wouldn't air at all. And this has been going on for a while. So that aspect, you're not going to read anywhere. But very interesting to have people that do live in Russia right now that pretty much echoed what we talked about last night at the end of the show, that when you do the sanctions and you remove the TV deals, it's probably affecting everyday Russians more than it affects the Russian government in any way, shape, or form. They take it out on their people, and it's really, really sad. So, all right. Somebody asked about work. Let's see. Roger Rubio, much love. How do I speed up a boring day at work? Sometimes I put the music on. Sometimes I'll put something on in the background that, you know, doesn't distract me, because if you have work to do, you know, obviously the work is most important. But sometimes I get up and just walk around for a couple of minutes. You know, look, there are days that it's brutal, man. Today was a rough day for me, because I stood up so late last night. I got up around 6 this morning with a horrible headache. And I fell asleep tonight. I fell asleep till about 9:45. I set my Alexa thing to go off at 9:45. I came here, I turned the computer on, and here you go. You know, some days at work are really, really brutal. But, you know, if you are allowed to, you know, put on a little music, put a video on, something in the background to just kind of ease your mind. Like my fiance, she works at home right now. Starting in 2 weeks, I believe, she works in the city again, 1-2 days a week. And sometimes when she's home, you know, it's very, very boring. She works for the Lupus Foundation. And she'll put on TV in the background. And, you know, she's focused on her work. But you listen to a little TV and it gets you in a little bit of a better mood. But that's what I usually do. Sometimes if I just get up and, you know, just stretch my legs for a few minutes, that usually does it too. Yeah, you're right, Rams fan. For some people, they want to say hello when it's time to say goodbye. You know, Ric Flair and others are known to do that. Vince McMahon, it's if you say that about Vince, that's not the case. Vince McMahon, he's not looking to shake hands with everyday people. To me, this was Vince McMahon's memoir. We weren't going to learn about much of Vince McMahon in his childhood, other than the fact that he was not a good student, graduated college. You know, you got a little insight of Vince McMahon as a young person. He's not going to do a shoot interview. You're not going to get a shoot interview where you talk for 3 hours and what made you decide you want to get into wrestling like your father. You know, you may get a question from Pat McAfee, but Pat McAfee killed it with the interview. Vince McMahon was calm. He was relaxed. It went a lot longer than people expected it to go. I think the interview, original interview, was only supposed to be 15 to 20 minutes. It went almost 90 minutes. Pat McAfee, again, he would get into a topic, and he could tell if Vince was not interested, Vince would divert to a different subject, and Pat would go along with it. You're getting the opportunity of a lifetime. No one else ever had the opportunity to talk to Vince like this and get Vince to open up a little bit, to give you a little insight of how this operates. There were a lot of people today that are very angry that Vince McMahon has not lost his marbles. People, I'm telling you, there are people out there, I talk about it with NXT all the time, there are people out there that are insisting to you that NXT is an absolute failure, that everybody wants to quit, that no one is happy there. Somebody, some asshole reporter, I don't know if it was Wade Keller, some asshole reporter 2 days ago wrote something like, everybody in WWE is miserable. And a whole bunch of people that work in WWE said, oh yeah, really? Not me. It's similar to that other dumb Wade Keller comment that everybody behind it, nobody in AEW liked Brandi Rhodes. You had Nyla Rose and a bunch of others. Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting to know. You know, there are people out there that need failure, that need negativity. You know, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry about what I'm about to say. I'm sincerely sorry, but I have to say it in this analogy. I bring it up with racism. Al Sharpton, okay? I know Al Sharpton since the Tawana Brawley incident. That's how I first found out about Al Sharpton. Believe it or not, I actually started to like Al Sharpton a little bit when he was on Morton Downey Jr. They were friends. I realized after they were friendly probably because they were both hustling, you know. But I have watched this guy since the 80s do what he does. And I truthfully believe, I'm not saying this feeling pressured, I truthfully believe that Al Sharpton, his main goal is to have equal rights for every black person in the world. I truly believe that. I really do. I also believe that in some situations, I think it benefits people more when there is turmoil, when there is friction, when there is, because, and the reason why I say that is when you see good things happening, most of the time, the Al Sharptons and others are not there with everyone else. If they organize a freedom march, a peace march, then yeah, they'll be there. But when you see people coming together with tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes, and everybody's absent, people, black, white, coming together for everything. And it's not celebrated. And you look at some prominent people who are black, and a lot of them, athletes, come to mind right away. Certain football player, certain basketball player. If you look at their social media account, they will put up every negative thing. And yes, that they should. They also should put a lot of the good. A lot of the good. And I think that there are some people out there that need tension to exist to benefit themselves and their causes. So when I think of things like that, you know, I realize that too. You know, that's the thing that frustrates me, you know, about certain causes out there. It's not just black or white. It's a whole gamut that people will focus on the negative, the negative, the negative, the negative. And when there is a little positive, you know, they're not there to say, see, everybody, this is what it should be. And sometimes you get some unbelievably beautiful stories. And you'll see people that say, why don't you post this? Why don't you show this? Why don't you show that? Even the political world. So there are people out there that have, you know, to see things negative. And it happens in wrestling too. NXT needs to be bad. NXT needs to be a failure. Everybody there has to be fucking miserable. Vince McMahon has lost it. Creatively, he doesn't have it anymore. And that I agree with a little bit. Sometimes you could be out of touch. That doesn't mean you've lost it up here. Vince McMahon at 70, what, 6 years old? 78, 76, whatever it is. What he showed today is that the man is still sharp as a knife. And you go back and you watch that chat room. Most of the people there were just loving the interview, soaking it in, surreal, surreal. Then you had those core group of people out there that hated it. The more Vince would make common sense and talk about this and why he does this and this and that, and it's like, okay, wow, this guy is sharp as a tack. Wow, this guy still has all his faculties. There's no signs of dementia at all. There's none. Zero. They can't handle that. So instead, you know, when he brings up the dead weight remark, everybody, you know, in that group, people that lost their jobs, lost their livelihood in the middle of a pandemic, he called them dead weight. The fuck? You know, like, that's what people focused on. You'll see, all through social media tonight, you'll see 2-3 sentences, and, oh, could you believe what? I tell you the most disgusting one. When they got stranded in Saudi Arabia, you know, there was a lot of people that, you know, said it was life or death. Now, for the families of the WWE wrestlers, I don't blame them. Your loved one is in a foreign country with not the greatest history. Anything could happen. I think back to Vader with the being detained and everything. Any country outside of the United States, you get detained, delayed for any reason, it could turn into a major issue. But like I said that night, when I didn't see CNBC report it, when I didn't see Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, I didn't see anybody, CBS, ABC, I didn't see anybody reporting that. But every website as clickbait and sensationalizing it, making it seem that it was almost a life or death situation. That was horrible. You know what I saw people do today? I saw people bringing up Saudi Arabia again. And the picture that they were using was when they were at the airport and right front and center is Brody Lee. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, you asshole dick, stupid motherfucker. And that gets hundreds and hundreds of likes. So for me, as a wrestling fan, as a lifelong WWF, later WWE fan, this was surreal. This is what I've always wanted to see, an interview go down with Vince McMahon. I wanted to feel that Pat McAfee could pretty much ask him anything, and he was honest about it. Vince McMahon is obviously a billionaire, a corporate veteran. He still has to answer to stockholders. So, of course, he is going to answer things not in the street way that we would want to hear it. But there was nothing in that interview, zero, nothing, that made me like, you fucking snake. You fucking motherfucker. Nothing. Not even a second. It was incredible. And I will watch it again and again. And when it is his time to go, that'll probably be the first thing I watch right afterwards. I loved it. I loved it. James Campbell. And by the way, thank you all for putting the Q, the letter Q, before what you write. Believe me, I tell you, it helps so much, because I know a lot of you like to have convo amongst yourselves during the show, and the letter Q at the beginning, you know, I could spot it a little bit easier, and, you know, sometimes I may miss one, but it's a lot easier for me to spot it. Now, on Saturday, I will condense the interview into a little recap, and I will bring up a lot of bullet points of what he said. Tonight was more of Anthony DeBlasi, the lifelong wrestling fan, reacting to seeing someone larger than life, and for a little while, seeing that person maybe out of his comfort zone, just answering everything, acting like one of the boys, and I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. The last 24 hours was very good for pro wrestling. It was very good for pro wrestling. None of it should have been mocked. James is saying, I seemingly liked and pushed as Austin Theory. Can I envision him as being the one who gets that huge win over Roman Reigns, making him a star maker? Well, not for the championship, but yeah, no, I see Austin Theory getting some wins down the line. Austin Theory, I don't know how far he goes in the future as far as elevation goes. WWE knows they have something special with Austin Theory. He gets under people's skin. It's almost like a different type of Miz. He's not a Hollywood reality TV series person, but he's got that look that you just want to smack the shit out of. You know, that's why I think the selfie stuff, it wasn't to rip off Tyler Breeze. It fit Austin Theory in a different way. See, I don't want to say it didn't fit Tyler Breeze. It fit Tyler Breeze. The way he dressed, the way he was arrogant, and he's looking at himself and he's absolutely in love with himself. Tyler Breeze, if he had the opportunity, if he could impregnate himself, I think Tyler Breeze would have had a kid. Hey, everybody, look, I had a son. Oh, where's the mom? You're looking at him. I fucked myself. That's how Tyler Breeze came across to me. Austin Theory, though, Austin Theory's like, yeah, I got it. Yeah, yeah, look, look, everybody, look, look. Look, I just kicked his ass. It's a totally different vibe. In order for Austin Theory to become the head of the table years from now, his character is obviously going to have to change. There's got to be a shift in his character. But for now, this is what we got. You know me, man. I don't need to prove myself. I have been singing the praise for Austin Theory long before him leaving NXT. He's got it. He's got it. And, we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, James, I love Tyler Breeze, too. T- Tyler Breeze definitely deserves a little bit of love and appreciation. He was very, very good. And he's still good. And it's a shame, you know, but obviously, creatively, you know, look, WWE, whether you like it or not, they're an entertainment company. And yeah, let me say it like this, okay? What movie? I'm trying to remember what movie it was. I don't remember what movie it was. I don't know if it was Goodfellas, but there was some movie that I was watching a behind-the-scenes interview recently. But the movie doesn't even matter. But what I'm about to say, you're going to say to yourself, oh, I can relate to that. Oh, wait, it was a TV series. That was a TV series. Wasn't Cheers, wasn't Family Ties. Maybe you'll figure out the movie when I tell you what it is. I watched an interview recently when an actor and ended up being iconic for either a movie or a TV show. I can't remember what it was. And he said that he originally wasn't the person cast for the role, that they originally had someone else in mind. Oh, man, it's starting to come to me. It's a comedy. And they had someone totally different in mind, and the actor didn't take the role because he was involved in another movie. And when I realized who the person would have been in the lead role, I'm like, I can't picture that person in that role. There ain't no fucking way that TV series would have succeeded with that person in there. But my point is, maybe someone will know what I'm talking about, but the point is, you know, over the years, over the decades of you enjoying TV shows and movies, there have been countless times where you'll hear that the original lead role was supposed to go to this person, but they chose not to use him. Or it was supposed to go to this person, but that person turned down the role. It was supposed to go to this person, but this person was tied up in a movie, and it went to this person instead. How many times have you heard somebody tell that story in the entertainment world? So does anybody go back to the movie company and say, holy shit, what are you fucking stupid? How could you cast this person and not over this person? Or the opposite. Oh my God, thank God you didn't cast this person. So in WWE, it's the same thing. It's okay, instead of casting this person, we're going to go with this person instead. Karrion Kross, Keith Lee, Aleister Black, Rusev. You could go on and on and on. You know what? We're going to go in a different direction. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. There's been countless movies and TV shows that have sucked. And then you find out that the original role was supposed to go to this person. And you're like, oh, man, could you imagine? That would have been awesome. And it didn't happen. It happens more than you realize. It's just with WWE, we get an emotional attachment to some wrestlers. Social media enhances that. When someone is friendly on social media, now they may not talk to you one-on-one, but when you get a little insight in someone's life, and they are a really good person, a friendly person, and somebody that comes across cool, you root for their success. You want to see them go further. And when they get mistreated or misused, you take it personal. For WWE, you know, it's not personal. And it shouldn't be personal to an extent. If it wasn't a publicly traded company, there are so many things that I've said over the years would have been different. But because it is a publicly traded company, if you're going to criticize a publicly traded company, you have to understand why a publicly traded company makes the decisions that it makes. It's not about feeling good. Sure, there's a PR department for that. But a PR department is not going to say to you, hey, you should keep that person employed. It just looks good. No. They'll say, hey, you know, do a charity donation. You can write it off on your taxes. You know, celebrate this. You know, and that's how it's handled. You have to understand that. If you're going to honestly judge people, you have to realize the world that they're in. You can't take somebody who is a pro wrestling company with 20 employees or another wrestling company that has 40 employees and another wrestling company that has 600 employees and judge them all the same way. Even the AEW, WWE stuff. Do you know, leave it to a writer in India that wrote this. And I'm like, I finally saw it a couple of days ago. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, that's awesome. Nobody in the States would dare write it. And what this writer wrote in India, and yeah, it's because I think they favor WWE, no question. I'm not denying that. But they said that it's unfair to compare AEW's ratings to WWE's ratings or demographics because AEW is TV-14 and it's intended for an older audience. It's intended for teenagers and young adults. And WWE programming is family entertainment where it's kid-friendly. AEW is not kid-friendly, so of course their demographic is going to be different. So when you see, you know, these people that are always comparing the demographic for listen, you know, I don't want to go to an extreme, but you use 25 to 34 demographic. 25 to 34. All right. Now you compare a TV show. We have a bunch of girls, you know, that they're sitting around singing songs, playing with puppets. And, you know, it's not necessarily for preteens, but it's like a kid show that would be on Nickelodeon. And there's been shows like that over the years. And, you know, it's meant for a younger demographic, but you might have some young adults. You could even go Saved by the Bell if you want. Saved by the Bell might be a little too old, but almost like a grade school version of Saved by the Bell. And then you got this other TV show that, you know, the actors and actresses are a little older, and instead of them just singing or sitting around and singing songs and doing this and everybody feels good, you know, this person's making out with this person. Oh, these two girls are kissing. Oh, my God, this and that. Oh, there's a, you know, of course you're going to have some young adults be like, I fucking want that. I don't want that. CM Punk bleeding profusely yesterday with MJF. You mean to tell me young adults don't want that in many cases more than, you know, seeing the non-blood, it's different. It's different. And this author in India wrote that. And I was like, wow, that is awesome. And he got no play. No play whatsoever. In the United States, I should say. Would I rather watch a 24 marathon of WrestleMania 9 or WrestleMania 11? I wouldn't want to see either one. I mean, if you force me, that's like saying, you know, do I want to die by getting stabbed or getting shot? You know, how do you even answer that? Seriously, I can't answer that. They both suck. That's like, do I want to eat calf's liver or do I want to eat tripe? Both equally skivats to me. I will find a way to not watch it, seriously. Unless you did like that. What's that TV show? You know, the beginning of the show where they put the toothpicks in the scientist's eyes or the robot chicken. Yeah, if you put toothpicks in my eyes where I have to watch. Man, I had a phase a couple of years ago that I binge-watched Robot Chicken. I binge-watched Robot Chicken like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I probably watched every season in about 2 weeks' time. And then I stopped watching it. I don't know what it was. I really enjoyed Robot Chicken for such a short period of time, and then I stopped. I do remember Randy Orton and Flair's steel cage match. You know, look, Randy Orton, you know, legend killer that turned into a legend. Randy Orton is very, very appreciated. And it's cool to see the position that he's in. He works safe. He works safe. Orton is awesome. Happy anniversary, Roger Rubio. 14 months. It's amazing how fast time flies. Oh, little announcement. Before the announcement, just answer a question for James. Any news on why Dexter Lumis hasn't been present on NXT? Yeah, they're doing a storyline with Indy Hartwell that he's not, you know, responding to her and stuff like that. We may actually see footage of Dexter Lumis with another woman. That's all I'm going to say. Who the woman is may surprise some people. I'm not trying to allude that he's gonna go with Nikki Lyons or anything like that. But, you know, that's where this storyline may be going. So I don't think it's anything else. They're trying to end the marriage storyline. Speaking of NXT, wow, what a great segue. This is a cool announcement. This is big. This is actually big. I don't want anybody that is not part of our Patreon family to be upset at this. I swear to you, what I'm about to tell you was not a choice that I made, okay? I'm going to explain. I will be honest with you. You know, like, oh, by the way, that is Zylot Themes and his Donzilla sign from Raw. So it was funny. He sent me the screenshot, and it does look like Finn Balor. Acknowledge me, motherfucker. Acknowledge me, Finn. I'm the leader of the Donzilla army. Acknowledge me. Acknowledge me. I'll take that over 1,000 likes on Twitter any day of the week. Anybody goes out of their way to show love for yours truly and gets it on TV, man, that's still, I mean, I just would never, ever, ever be able to relay how much I appreciate that. That's awesome. But I got a cool announcement to make. I teased this on social media a couple of days ago. I did not expect the ball to run this fast. It is awesome to be appreciated. As Playback wrote, the legendary Don's Tony has, I almost screwed up my own name. Because I'm not used to the word legend with my name. The legendary Don Tony has arrived. Yes, I have arrived. For those that are on audio only, let me give you the announcement. A couple of days ago, I let everyone know that I was approached to host pro wrestling watch parties. This is not just anybody doing watch-alongs like we were doing on YouTube. This is a company that works with cable companies, TV show outlets, and they get paid to get people to interact and watch programming. So this company hires people to host watch parties. And I was approached. And like I said, you know, nothing against my former co-hosts, but a lot of what I'm doing now, I should have done 10 years ago when I wanted to do it. I should have done it 10 years ago, even just for my freaking age, to be 10 years younger, you know, it just would have taken it to a completely different level, especially on the heels. I stopped doing the indie managing stuff in 2010. So 10 years ago, it would have been 2012. It would have been shortly after. I should have done this 10 years ago, but better late than never. So I was approached about hosting pro wrestling watch parties. Would I be interested? And I said, absolutely, I would be interested. You know, get paid for it. You know, it's not free and for the love of wrestling. You're actually hosting watch parties. So I said, yeah, I'm interested. You know, I've been offered a lot of things over the years, including satellite radio. I could have gone to satellite radio a long time ago, but it just wasn't going to work out because not everybody I was doing shows with would be able to go to the studio. Not everybody wanted to. When I was going to do FM radio, you know, the idea was, you know, for people that don't know this story, back in 2006, I got offered to do Tuesday night FM radio. I don't know if it was 92.7 or 91.7 or something like that, but I was offered to go to FM radio, and it was going to be a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night, late. And we were doing, I think, the Minority Report at the time. And, you know, the idea was, you know, to do it. The problem was my co-hosts were not interested in traveling to the city. And I don't blame them, to be honest with you. But no one was interested in traveling to the city Tuesday or Wednesday late night to do it. I wanted to do it, but they didn't want to, and I didn't blame them either. So we compromised, and what we were going to do was we were going to record the Monday show that we were doing, and then I would edit it. We were trying to be PG. We were going to try to do episodes not cursing, and if there was cursing, I would take the audio, I would censor any of the vulgarity, and then I would deliver the tape on Tuesday, and they would play it on Tuesday night. The problem was, for several people, the audio quality was awful. And you could not play that kind of audio quality on FM radio. And it just never developed. Back then, I had been approached about, you know, would you be interested in doing Sirius satellite radio? But the problem was, there would be, you know, we couldn't pick the day or time. And, you know, if you say yes, you know, you might get a call back. You don't want to just say yes. I mean, you know, with all due respect, how many people online, you know, make announcements to all of you, hey, I'm going to be doing this. And you get 1,000 likes. Oh, that's awesome. Can't wait. Pumped, stoked. So excited. Unbelievable. That's awesome. That's incredible. And then it disappears. And then maybe a year later, hey, didn't so-and-so say they were going to do this? Didn't so-and-so they were going to debut here? Didn't they figure that? What happened? Just quietly goes away. And then you realize they just did it for that rush, that hit. Oh, my God, I'm still wanted. I'm still appreciated. So when you commit, or you say you're interested, you got to be honest. You got to be honest. So I said, no, couldn't do it. So I got approached from this company because of the success of the video and, you know, going Blue Wire. Blue Wire loves the numbers. Like I said, you know, people that try to joke about my numbers on YouTube, 90% of everybody that enjoys my show is access audio only. Not everybody needs to see my face for an hour and a half. They could listen to it. And it's more convenient that way. It's less data. So I get it. That's why I have purposely, if you noticed, this was something very, very important to me for my audio only family out there. You don't see me anymore going on the show saying, hey, look at that. Everybody, look at that on your screen. Look at that. No, I'll describe what's on the screen so everybody at home could envision this themselves. Then if they want to jump on video, just see what it was, they can. I'll always describe it. So anyway, getting to the point. I was approached to see if I'd be interested in hosting pro wrestling watch parties. They didn't tell me what companies would be involved, but they wanted to know if I was interested. They like my attitude. They like the numbers that they see. And they think that I would do good at hosting. I said, yeah, absolutely. Within 48 hours, I got invited to a Zoom. Big meeting, four people. And I connected a Zoom meeting. They said, we would like you to host WWE watch parties. Am I going to get in trouble for this? No. It's fine. The only thing is they have not worked out an agreement yet with Peacock. Once they get an agreement worked out with Peacock, we can do pay-per-view watch parties. So what that means is that if you're part of the watch party, you do not have to pay for the pay-per-view. Now, they do have someone that is doing AEW already. Dynamite. Rampage is available, but I think that would be extreme to do, especially because I think Rampage is going to change their time slot, or they may go 2 hours down the line. So that's a little bit unstable. And plus, I don't do shows that much on Fridays. But anyway, long story short, I had the meeting today. And they would like for me to host watch parties for NXT 2.0. There's more coming. So I said, absolutely. Now, here's the catch. They have not rolled out completely yet their whole program. There's a lot of technical stuff behind it. It's not, oh, let me put the video on my computer screen and just share the screen and you all. No, we actually connect to their servers. They're the ones that supply the video. I host a watch party, and anybody who is invited watches it with me live. So it's very, very complicated how this is done. But they said, we'd like for you to do NXT 2.0. And I said, okay. You know, so here's what I was saying about, you know, I don't want any non-patrons to be upset. They want it done through Patreon for now, because their servers could only hold a certain number of people. I think it's 200 to be technical. The Patreon that I have now, I mean, let's be honest. There are 10,000 Patreon wrestling channels. Some of the content that we had on the channel before is not as special as what it used to be. Not a lot of people have to pick and choose what Patreon that they want to subscribe to. So the numbers on our Patreon are very low. And I always said, you know, like, I don't want to ever shut down Patreon, but believe me when I tell you, and I don't blame them. My co-hosts are not good, that are on that channel are not going to do it for free. So if it gets to the point that I have to start charging them on my credit card again to give people money, that's when the channel shuts down. Luckily, we're nowhere near that right now. But the channel is small enough that if every person that tunes into my stuff wants to be part of the watch party, it can handle it. So here's the deal. Starting this Tuesday, we ain't waiting. I got to do a crash course over the weekend. Starting this Tuesday, on the Patreon Discord, there's going to be a link that is only going to be visible for our Discord family. I might even have the link just on Patreon. And we're all going to be connected to a server. And basically, NXT 2.0 will be on the screen. And we will watch it. There's a chat room there. You have your video box. Now, let me also say, for anybody out there that doesn't do video, you could still be part of this watch party. But I will tell you that the whole idea of a watch party is to have a whole bunch of friendly faces on the screen, laughing, enjoying, reacting to segments. We don't have to be, you know, PC. You don't have to say, if something sucks, you say it. But the idea is it's a watch party. It's not a listen party. It's a watch party. So it's going to be available for our Patreon family to start off. By April, mid-April, they plan on rolling out the full-blown program. When that happens, we should be able to do it on YouTube as well. So right now, they want it on the Patreon because it's a smaller audience. On YouTube, you know, it's difficult. I could have done it with channel members on YouTube. Now, here's where it gets a little interesting. They want me to do it for SmackDown as well. And I don't do shows on Friday. Friday is the only day I don't do shows. And that's my personal time with my fiance. My fiance is not going to go for me doing 7 days a week of shows. But they made an offer that is very hard to refuse. Plus, being the only person doing WWE watch parties, you know, WWE, you know, they're fine with this. So this is a pretty big deal, you know. So we may start next Friday doing SmackDown watch parties as well. I'm going to try to get them to see if we can do it for YouTube channel members. Because, look, obviously our channel members, the number is very low as well because everybody has a channel membership too. But I want to make this clear for everybody tuning in that is not a channel member or a Patreon member. This is not about a money grab. I swear to you it's not. It cannot be publicly visible because there's just too many people that will try to connect, and that's not the way the watch parties go. This is not just a watch along that anybody does on YouTube for a pay-per-view. Hey, watch along. We're actually watching the video. You do that publicly. Look, anybody out there that's ever had a podcast, you know, if you play even 5 minutes of WWE programming on YouTube, you will get a copyright strike. We're watching SmackDown. We're watching NXT. How are we watching it and not get hit with a copyright strike? You see where I'm going with this? So this is a big deal. This is not just, hey, watch along. And then when you tune in, you just see the host's face. You can't watch the video. You can't hear the commentary. Otherwise, you get hit with a copyright strike. Here, you'll be watching the wrestling on the screen with me, with everybody else, and we will have a good time. And we will comment. We will have a ball. We will have great conversation. I am the one hosting it. So if anybody gets really out of line, I can mute them. I could remove people. But, yeah, we cannot get Mrs. de Blasio upset. I'm doing a lot of this to pay off my wedding. I still owe a lot of money. And, yeah, I could whip out a credit card and put a lot of it on plastic, and then I'll be paying it off for 50 years. But, you know, I'm trying to pay off a wedding. I will not do GoFundMe shit or anything like that. I mean, I appreciate all of you channel members that are here, Patreon, everybody that sends in contributions, Super Chat, buys merchandise, spreads the word. You don't have to go into your pocket. You tell others about the show. You know, you get a little ad revenue. You get a, you know, the revenue from Blue Wire. And this, believe me, it all tremendously helps. If I'm going to get that kind of support from all of you, I'm going to put out and bang out as much content as I can. I just don't want to overload anybody. And speaking of that, we're at 90 minutes. So we're going to start wrapping this up. Bring it home. But don't forget, Saturday, we will have the Don Tony show. I will get into some more specifics with the Vince McMahon interview. I obviously cannot finish this show about the biggest news coming out of that interview. And I purposely saved it for last. I'm not going to go back and play the clip. But if you go to the timestamps from the episodes for the last couple of weeks when The Undertaker was announced for the WWE Hall of Fame, we have had a lot of fun conversations who we would like to induct The Undertaker. And something that I said repeatedly here, something that a lot of you said repeatedly here, is that in a perfect world, we would love to see Vince McMahon induct The Undertaker. But we all agreed, rat's chance that that was going to happen. Or no chance in hell. No chance in hell. None of us thought Vince McMahon would. Plus, the way you see him on TV, I mean, to me, it seems, after watching an interview today, I think it's more of a production issue with WWE Raw. Motherfucker, put his mic on boost. Shit, I'm not going to start amplifying my mic right now, but I could make this so loud that your ears will pop. I mean, Vince is doing segments with Austin Theory on Raw. It's like,
I got a pen. I got, you know,
just do this. Then you know what I do with the eraser. And it's so low and it's so matter of fact that it sounds like he's mumbling. Today, holy shit. Would have never thought that that was the Vince McMahon that we see on Raw. And look at his face. Is somebody intentionally trying to make him look like a clown on Monday nights? I didn't see any pink lips. I didn't see any whacked out makeup. I don't know. For some reason, Vince looked different today. Did he have a lot of vitamin D? I mean, did he fake tan, spray tan? Well, he probably doesn't go to tanning salons anymore. For anybody that doesn't know why I said that, Google it. But when we talked about The Undertaker and who should put him in, you know, we all said we would love Vince McMahon, but we didn't think that that was a chance. We talked about Glenn Jacobs, Kane. We talked about Mick Foley, talked about Shawn Michaels, even talked about Shane McMahon. Didn't talk much about Triple H because Triple H's situation is a lot more serious than people realize. I'm not saying that Triple H flatlined ever, but, you know, when you hear cardiac event, you know, that's a very, very general term. People don't realize that Triple H right now could have a scar from here down to his belly button. I mean, that guy, my mother, it's what, 4 years since her valve replacement. And it's a little over a year since my dad's triple bypass. And they're still not 100%. My father refuses to just kick back and relax. You know, I know it. If he kicks back and relaxes and just tries to enjoy life peacefully, he'll die in a month. Like he's got, that's why I think the same of Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon in some ways reminds me of my dad as far as work ethic goes. My father's 73. My dad doesn't need to do what he does anymore. And I see them on Tuesdays. I see them sometimes on the weekends as well. And I see my father. And my father looks like he's beaten up and broken down. And then the next thing you know, Ma, where's Dad? Oh, he went to Home Depot. What? He should be in a fucking jacuzzi tub. You know, he doesn't have a jacuzzi, but you know what I mean, a hot tub. You know, my father only knows one speed, and I think I got that from my dad a little bit as well. Now, it's different. I'm sitting on my fat ass every day of the week, so it's not the same. But, you know, so Triple H, it's a lot. I wish Pat McAfee would have asked, how's Hunter? But I think he already knows that answer, and I think that's why it wasn't discussed, to be honest with you. I think if Pat McAfee didn't know the answer of his condition, I think he would have asked it tonight. But let's get right to it. It was announced by Vince McMahon himself that he will be inducting The Undertaker into the WWE Hall of Fame. Mish brought up a great idea on Monday that what if you have multiple people induct them? You almost have like, you know, a little group. Each person comes up, says a few things. You know, that's a great idea. I think that is an awesome idea. I actually like Mish's idea more than anybody else, even my own. But Vince is going to be the one to induct The Undertaker. The problem is, the Vince McMahon that we got today on Pat McAfee's show is not the Vince that we get at the Hall of Fame. I think Vince McMahon inducting The Undertaker, I will almost make a contest here. Predict how long Vince McMahon's induction speech is going to be, or, you know, inducting The Undertaker. I will almost guarantee that Vince McMahon does not talk 5 minutes. I would not be surprised if Vince McMahon talks 3 minutes. Now, I think 5 minutes is more reasonable, but others will talk 10, 15 minutes. I don't even think it's going to be 5 minutes. I think he is going to be very generalistic. You know, Vince McMahon always talks about Undertaker as Undertaker, Taker. He brought up Mark Calloway today. You know, even Pat McAfee said, you know, once they go to the bar, relax a little bit, that's Mark Calloway. You know, I was thinking of Hulk Hogan today when Vince McMahon said, you know, you're a character on TV. But once those characters stop rolling, you're the person. And I was laughing because I kept thinking about Hulk Hogan when he got in that trouble. And he was like, oh, you know, that was Hulk Hogan. You know, it wasn't me. It wasn't Terry Bollea. You know, some people take their character home with them. Some people live the gimmick 24/7. Some people have to for emotional reasons, you know. So, but Undertaker is going to be inducted by Vince McMahon. I have no idea if Glenn Jacobs was supposed to be the one. I talked about it on Sunday. It was a very unpopular thumbnail. A lot of people who criticized me obviously did not tune into the video. They thought by the way I wrote it that he put in his, you know, he put in his foot in mouth. I said what the Undertaker said made a whole lot of sense. But in the middle of a war, and the way he said it, you know, I think if they announced him inducting the Undertaker, there would be online protests. People get triggered. I mean, so I don't know if Glenn Jacobs was ever considered. I don't know. I will guarantee you, you will have some news site out there. And they have to be careful about it because Glenn Jacobs will respond on social media more than you think. But I almost guarantee you're going to see a wrestling website make a claim that exclusive. We learned that WWE was seriously considering Glenn Jacobs to induct The Undertaker. But once Glenn Jacobs tweeted about the Russia-Ukraine situation, war, WWE changed their mind. It's somebody's going to do that. You know, that's how the sausage is made. Now, if they word it the right way, Glenn Jacobs probably won't even respond to it. But if they try to portray it that, no, Glenn Jacobs was going to be the one, and WWE changed their mind once he made that tweet, that's when I think Glenn Jacobs will say, you're full of shit. Vince McMahon was the one. It was Undertaker's decision. Vince McMahon was the one. So, how somebody writes the bullshit depends on how deep they want to go. You know, do you just say WWE was considering Glenn Jacobs? Oh, I'm sure they were considering a lot of people because I don't think anybody expected Vince to really do it. So, you know, you say it the right way, it sounds okay, yeah, all right. But if somebody says, no, Kane was the one, Kane fucked up. WWE said, no dice. That's when you get yourself into bullshit territory. So, all right, Rams fan is going. I'm going to get out of here as well. So I thank you all for hanging out tonight a little bit. Yeah, tonight was mostly about Undertaker, Vince McMahon, you know, Pat McAfee show, you know, little what I said earlier about them pulling their TV out of Russia. They're not sending content anymore. That's the better way to put it. But this obviously was the biggest news of the day. AEW's Dynamite rating is delayed. I'm sure that there's conspiracy theorists out there that are going to say, oh, WWE got them to delay it, so all the focus was about his interview on Pat McAfee tonight. No, I heard it was a technical glitch, and across the board, a lot of cable TV numbers are not available. So that's why it was delayed. So we'll have the Dynamite rating tomorrow. But again, for my friends that are part of our Patreon family, don't forget this Tuesday, you will be able to be part of the watch along. Now, here's a good question I know a lot of people are going to ask. DT, are you still doing a Breakfast Soup episode at 10:05 after the NXT goes off the air? Yeah. Yeah, of course. I think we will. you know, just keep in mind that we would have just went through 2 hours of a watch party. So, you know, of course, you know, we're not going to repeat everything. And these are not being taped, by the way. I do not believe these are being recorded. So anybody that's going to ask, hey, is it going to be recorded so we could watch it later on? I have to ask them that question. That is a good question I thought about after the meeting was over. I do not think they're going to be recorded. I don't know if we're allowed to. But if it can be recorded, then maybe I can stream it privately if anybody wants to see it. Because let me tell you something. Some people laugh their ass off on Tuesdays when I play like 10 minutes of Uno and I actually stream it on the Patreon Discord. And when I get like a goofy partner and I start ripping on the, it's, some of it is, I don't know if I would even say that half the stuff I say publicly, but, you know, I think we have some fun discussion, especially, you know, if you get a little argument about somebody that's on TV, especially maybe if Lash Legend tries to wrestle again on NXT. I mean, I can only imagine what that viewing party is going to look like. You know, but I will tell you, anybody that's a part of it, you know, just be yourself. And, oh, and let me just say one last thing before I go. And, you know, this is really for everyone out there that might be a little bit shy about the way they look. Okay. When I did the demo earlier today for this, all right, I have my finger in the air right now, and I made a circle that's about the size of a quarter. Our heads on the screen are about the size of a quarter. You're not going to get this full box profile of everyone. This is not like Zoom where on the side everybody has like a box. I mean, you're going to have little round circles with people's heads on the bottom of the screen. And the more people that show up, the smaller the heads get. So it's not going to be, you know, something where, you know, people are going to zoom in and look at your freckles. You know what I mean? Like, you're barely going to see anybody's face. In fact, what I'll do, I'll get permission from them to get an example of a watch along that's been done already for the NBA that's on this platform as well. When you see it, you know, it's almost like AEW heels. You ever see with the women, how small it's so. Believe me, if anybody out there is going to be a little video shy, you know, even, and we can't even see your background. So even if you're on your cell phone, you know, and your background is an empty wall, you can't see it. It literally, when I did my video earlier with them, all you saw is my head, and it was the size of a quarter, and there was only four of us. So I want to make that clear. I don't want anybody to feel like self-conscious that you can't just join. Have fun. We'll have a ball. And if it goes well, it'll bleed into SmackDown. And if the technology allows it, we will definitely do it privately on YouTube as well. So everyone, have a great night. All the best. And I hope to see you Saturday, 8:05 p.m. for the Don Tony Show. And then Sunday, we have AEW Revolution, which is going to be outstanding. That is going to be an exhausting pay-per-view. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good one. So be well, everyone. Have a great night and enjoy your weekend. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember,
Hold on. I can't ever leave here without, you know, answering everybody's question. There is one final one. And I'm sorry, this is only going to be a minute or two. Only because I don't like repeating myself. Steve Joseph asked my thoughts on Cain Velasquez. Well, I brought it up yesterday. I brought it up on Patreon, but yesterday I did not put it in a timestamp. So I totally understand why he's asking this. And, you know, I could have easily said, oh, check out last night's show for the answer. Okay, I'm going to answer it this quickly. For those that may not have even heard my show yesterday, Cain Velasquez was arrested in San Jose, California. Charged with attempted murder, premeditated attempted murder. Long story short, a family member of his, under the age of 14, was molested by a 43-year-old man. The only thing we know, and look, if you see, I'm looking at you. I have no notes in front of me. This is all on memory. The 43-year-old man's mother ran a home daycare center. And that shit gets disturbing quickly because I insure in my office a few people in the neighborhood that run daycares out of the house. And every time I go there to take pictures of, you know, to show the safety features that they have, the kids are usually anywhere from infants to about 5, 6, 7 years old. I have never seen any kid over the age of maybe 7 in these daycares. So when you hear that someone was molested under the age of 14, the person could be 13, the person could be 3. So keep that in mind, what I'm about to say. So Cain Velasquez found out about this 43-year-old man who molested one of his relatives, Cain Velasquez's relatives, that was at the daycare that this mother was holding. Cain Velasquez has access to a gun and tried to kill the guy. He shot into a vehicle, and unfortunately, Cain Velasquez hit the 43-year-old's stepfather, I believe, or his father. He hit, I believe, the stepfather. So he didn't actually connect with the 43-year-old that, you know, did this. So as a result, Cain Velasquez is in jail, charged with premeditated attempted murder. In California, you know, it's a fucked up state. Me, like I said yesterday and on Patreon, I don't condone anyone, you know, doing violence like that. But there is a side of me that always felt that if somebody tragically did my family wrong, that I would want revenge. I couldn't sit there and just forgive somebody. Somebody does something to a family member of mine, I don't care if I ruin my life, I will get some type of revenge. I don't know. I say that. I mean, if push came to shove, maybe I don't have the balls to do it. I don't know. But that's my thought. So, you know, the impersonal, you know, part of me that says, Cain Velasquez, the only thing I wish he would have done different, I wish he would have gotten that guy in the balls. I wish he would have blown that 43-year-old's nuts off. Just splattered him all over the ground. You know, that 43-year-old does not deserve testicles anymore. Now, I say that more in a movie thought than anything else. Maybe that's a TV movie, maybe not made for TV, but you see where I'm going with this. Do I think Cain Velasquez is going to serve jail time? I mean, he's serving some jail time right now, but would he do long-term jail time? I don't think so. I mean, if I heard that he did a year, I wouldn't be surprised. But I think what's going to happen is that even though it was premeditated, I think they're going to push that he was just not in the right state of mind, that he was so distraught about what this guy did. And I'm going to give you an example of something, and it is outdated. It happened, I think, in the early 80s, around 1985. I don't have the names in front of me, but I just thought about it as I'm telling you this story. You could Google it. Warning, the footage is disturbing. I watched this footage a couple of months ago. A karate teacher molested, I think, a 14-year-old girl. And he kidnapped her and brought her, I believe, to California. He might have been from the East Coast, but he kidnapped the girl and brought her to California. Luckily, the girl was rescued and the guy was arrested. Now, again, this is the mid-80s, early 80s. So security was handled much differently at that time. The footage is on YouTube. If you Google karate, molesting, airport, killer, you know, shooting or father, just type father airport killing molesting. It'll come up. So what happened was the guy that got arrested for doing this was being extradited back to the Northeast. I don't, it might have been Pennsylvania, I don't know, or Ohio, something like that. And a news reporter knew what flight he was coming in on. And somehow the father of this molested child got the information from the news reporter. So the father of this molested child knew what flight this guy was being flown into, being extradited. So the news reporter, they're filming in the airport and they're waiting for the guy to come off the plane in handcuffs, and they're shooting footage of the guy walking through the airport to go to the cop car and go in jail. You see the footage of the guy walking by. In front of the camera, there's about 8 payphones. And while they're filming, there's a guy with a hat on and sunglasses on a payphone. And he's just talking. And we find out after he was really talking to somebody. And right at the moment where the guy walked by, the molester, the guy, you see it on clear as day, on video, the guy on the payphone, it was the father. He turns around, pulls out a gun, shoots him right in the head. And the guy dies on the scene. Now, you don't see any, like, real lots of blood and this and that. I mean, but it is still disturbing footage. Do you know the guy actually got off? I mean, he went to jail and he was accused of murder. He actually killed, Cain Velasquez didn't kill this guy, even though he shot the wrong person, but he didn't kill anybody. But this guy actually killed that child molester. He went to court, and because of how distraught he was of his daughter being kidnapped and molested, that he was just not in his right frame of mind. So even though it was all premeditated, he showed up there, he had the gun, he was on the phone just waiting and waiting and waiting. He actually got acquitted. He got acquitted. Now, yes, this is the 80s. Things are handled a little bit different right now, but he got acquitted. So could that happen with Cain Velasquez? Sure. Absolutely. Especially because the guy did not die from it. I don't think his injuries were very serious either. I don't know if he got shot in the arm or whatever it was. I mean, again, I don't condone, you know, that type of, you know, behavior. But, you know, there are cases in the past that a family member is so distraught about something like this that, sure, it's premeditated, but you're still not in your right frame of mind prepping for it. So there is a chance Cain Velasquez does get off on this charge. He'll probably serve a little bit of jail time, but, you know, it's a messed up situation. But I give you warning again, if you seek out that footage, you know, if you don't want to see somebody get shot, don't seek it out. But it's crazy when you realize that this happened live on television. And when we find out after that the father actually got the info from the news reporter. Wild, wild. So, all right, now I can officially say goodnight to everybody. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.